kissing myself shows divine respect. This is Dr. Herbert Alvarelli, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. Kissing myself shows divine respect. How can I kiss myself? And how can I show divine respect for that? It sounds a very emotional and a very touching experience to do that. Now, is that what I really want to do? Is that where I really am, that I really want to kiss myself and show divine respect therein? What does it mean to show divine respect? Every time you admire something, every time I admire something, every time I look at something and say, that's beautiful, that's good, anytime I look at something and say, I commit to you, I think you're wonderful, I am going to smile at you. I am going to laugh with you. I'm going to love with you. Whenever I say anything like that, I am giving my wholehearted beingness to whatever it is I'm talking about. Now, if I say, I'm going to laugh and love with a baby, you say, well, that's most natural. I'm going to laugh and love with my children. Well, that's most natural. I'm going to laugh and love with my wife or husband. That's most natural. I'm going to laugh and love with all the world. Well, that's kind of good, but not necessarily natural, but it's good. And I am going to love everything because I am the creator of everything in the world. And kissing myself shows divine respect for what I have created. I've created myself. Now, do I look at my own body, my own life, my own experiences and say, you're good, very good? Do I look at everything that I do and say and am and call it good and very good? Do I look at that? Oh, yes, I do. Oh, yes, I do. I look at them and I call them good and very good. And to do that means that I am going to set a wonderful cause in motion for a happy life. Now, it doesn't matter to me what other people are doing, what other people are thinking, what other people are saying, what other people are acting like. It only matters to me what I am thinking, saying, doing, and acting like. Now, if I look at a person who's dying, and I say, oh, that's dreadful, you're dying. Or if I look at a person who's dying, and I say, whatever is your choice. Whatever is your choice, that is your experience. Now, they say, I don't want to die. And you say, well, that's your choice, your experience. But I don't want to die. Now, in my world, in our world, I am the creator of my world. So everyone in my world is my creation. And if a person in my world is going to die, that's my creation. Now, why would I, a living, loving, wonderful being, ever want to create someone who's dying? Why would I ever want to create someone in my world who chooses not to live anymore, whether it's from war or from illness or from age or from whatever? Why would I ever choose to do that? Well, I choose to do that because I'm looking inside of the other person. And as I look inside the other person, I see their thoughts, their attitudes, their ways of thinking, their choices for themselves, and I see, oh, that they have chosen this. They have chosen them. Now, if I look at them and I say that, then I am not the master of myself. I am not the creator of my world because I have given somebody else permission to do whatever they damn choose to please choose in my world, and I can't do that. I cannot do that. I'm not allowed to do that. That's not me as a divine being. That's not me as a divine essence. Kissing myself shows divine respect. Why do I kiss myself? Because I love myself. Why do I kiss my hands, my heart, my head, my world, my life? Why do I kiss everything and say, I love you, I love you, I love you? I say that because I am delighted with everything that I have. Now, am I delighted with a person who wants to be sick? With a person who wants to be ill? Who wants to die? Who wants to do something unbeneficial to them, like be poor or whatever, have no friends? Why do I endorse such a thing in my world? Why do I endorse such a thing in my life? Are there any people in my world at all who are going through negative experiences? Then I cannot allow myself for one second to enter into their experience because I make it mine. I've made it mine already by saying that they have that experience. If a teacher is called upon by a student and the student says, I'm having difficulty working on this problem. And the teacher says, you're just stupid, you're dumb. I don't want to deal with you. I want to deal only with the bright children who already have figured it out. Well, that kind of a teacher would not be a very beneficial teacher for the student, would he? Not at all. Student comes to a teacher and says, I got a problem. And teacher says, too bad, kid. Suffer through it. If a student comes to the teacher and says, teacher, I got a problem. And the teacher says, well, now, let's sit down and think about it. And so together, the teacher and student sit down and think about it. And the teacher says, now, what is it that you want to accomplish by solving this problem? Well, I'm going to get the answer. All right, you're going to get the answer. That's true. So now, what are you going to solve by having this problem? Well, I want to know a little more about mathematics. Very good, very good. Well, what's the key to mathematics, the teacher says? The key to mathematics is, as you've always said again and again and again and again, it's so boring to hear it, you're always saying, the key to mathematics is 2 times 2 is 4. And the teacher says, that's correct. But teacher, why is it? 2 times 2 is not 4 when you're taking 8 plus 16 and 19, 21 and then adding them all together. You come up with a different answer. No. Once you know the foundation principle and you stay with the foundation principle, you can arrive at any solution, any complex series of numbers that you want to give to the mathematical theme. But teacher, how can that be? How can that be that would work out like that? Well, because it's a principle. It's a principle. Now, if I were to look at you, the teacher says to the student, if I were to look at you and I were to see a stupid kid, a kid who can't learn, a kid who's not interested in learning, well, that's the way I would be. I would be a person who can't learn and isn't interested in learning. But teacher, you're a teacher. You're always interested in learning. Well, that's what I'm supposed to be. Now, if I look at myself and I see myself revealing more and more beautiful things in my life and my world and my affairs, that's great. I'm revealing those things. They're already there. I'm revealing them. Now, as I deal with the students, I help them to reveal in themselves all those things that are already there. If I were a doctor, I'd help a patient to reveal his wholeness, his perfection, his beauty. If I were a school, I'd expect students to come to me because they want to say, I want to learn. I want to understand. I want to reveal in me the wisdom that I am. And as a teacher, I would say to them, here we are. Let's work on this together. Now, what would you like to understand? And then I, as a teacher, teach my students to kiss themselves, showing divine respect. Kiss themselves? What's that all about? Well, when my student says 2 times 2 equals 4, I say, wonderful. Now you just kiss that thought and say, I love you, I love you, I love you. It's a good thought. Oh, come on. Now, Well, now it's the next thing. 2 times 1 is 2. Oh, hey, yeah, that's great. Oh, yes. And 1 times 2 is 2. And go on and on and on. Oh, that's easy. That's right. All revealing from within is easy. When you know that you already know it, then it's easy to reveal it because you're not making it difficult for yourself. Now, when a person goes into the hospital and they're sick with something, they go there because they want to get well. They don't go there because they want to die. They go there because they want to get well. Now, they may go there to die. They may go there to die because they have been told that they're terminal and this is the end and there's nothing more that can be done. And so they give up and then they die and we say, oh, they were terminal, they died. Now, how many patients go into the hospital and feel terminal and then the doctor says to them, now we can take care of that. That's one of our simplest cases. That's one of our easy things. Now, let's work on it this way. Let's do that. And hey, that's a new attitude. That's a new idea. Hey, I didn't know I could live. Hey, that's great. And you take a whole new direction for yourself. You reveal the fact that you can live. You reveal the fact that you can do your mathematical problems. You reveal the fact that you're not stupid, that you're not an idiot, that you're not completely without redemption. You realize that you are wonderful. But this means that you cannot for 1 second have in your mind, in your thought, in your world, the idea that it won't work. Now, it's so easy to happen that we have conditions in our world, and these conditions limit us. Oh, we've created them, that's true. And then we create the condition no longer in our world. And we feel light, and we feel good, and we feel wonderful. And then we feel guilty. Oh, I shouldn't have chased that condition away. I shouldn't have chased that person away. I shouldn't have pushed that person out of my life. I should have helped them. Come on now. Are you going to go around kissing those in the world who are inharmonious with you? Are you going to go around telling those in the world who are thinking on another train of thought than you are thinking that you love them? That's very difficult to do. There's lots of people in this world that you can say you love to, if you wish. And there's lots of people in this world that are wonderful. But only if you keep your eyes clear, beautiful, and perfect. If you keep realizing that kissing yourself shows your divine reality. When you say, I like me. Contrary to all of the things that you had been doing, the naughty person you've been, you start saying, I like me. And you start changing your attitude, and you start changing your thoughts. You start kissing yourself. You say, oh, my goodness. And everybody who comes into your world says, what a lovely person you are. And not more than 10 seconds before, you were not a lovely person. But because you started kissing yourself, because you started telling yourself, I like me, because you started associating with the truth about yourself, that revealed instantly in your life. We have to be very careful. A lot of people come into our life and they don't want to change. They don't want to change. They want to be the same person that they always were. And they want to have the same attitude that they always had. And they come into our life, and when they leave, we say, whew, am I glad they're gone. Whew, hey, they were a tough bird to work with. Because you got involved in their life, in their thinking, in their attitude. If anyone comes into your world, my world, our world, and they bring with them their negative attitudes, their unhappy attitudes, their attitudes that tell them that they are better than the rest of the world and the rest of the world is really not very nice at all. Immediately walk away. Immediately leave that. Immediately stop kissing them. Stop saying, I'd like to be like them. Stop saying those things in your heart, which you do. And when people go to the hospital, or when people go to the doctor, when people go to the teacher, when people go anywhere to reveal something about themselves, if the doctor says, "You're terminal," then I would leave that doctor right quick in a hurry. Right quick in a hurry. If the teacher says, "You're unteachable," I would not spend 2 seconds with that teacher. Not because the teacher's right or wrong, but because I don't want that attitude in me. I don't want that attitude in me. I don't want that attitude in me. I want the attitude in me that I am teachable, that I can reveal from within me that which is magnificent and wonderful and perfect and, oh, yes, I can. I have to be so careful. Now, even my teachers will say to me sometimes, "Now, 2 times 2 is 8. And you say, "Oh, come on, teacher, that's not true. 2 times 2 is 4. I say 2 times 2 is 8. "Well, I don't accept 2 times 2 is 8 because I know 2 times 2 is 4. All right, I'm going to say to you that San Francisco is south of San Diego in California. And you'll say, "Oh, come on, teacher, where have you been? What have you been drinking?" And the teacher says, "No, San Francisco is south of San Diego." Now, the teacher says, "Okay, now just for a minute, imagine San Francisco being south of San Diego. Now, it's okay. You can put it there. Nobody's going to say you can't. They'll say it isn't, but they won't say it can't. And so you do that, and so you're satisfied for a moment, and then you realize, hey, that's an illusion, and I believe in that illusion. I can visualize that illusion. Now, why do I want to visualize an illusion that is so entirely incorrect, that so boggles my logical mind that I cannot stand still? And then I say to myself, why do I fight it? Do I know where San Francisco is? Is San Francisco in the middle of the state of California, toward the north? Is that where San Francisco is? Or is San Francisco on the bottom of California, on the Mexican border, just south of San Diego? Is that where San Francisco is? You see, we can think illogically. We can think outrageously. We can think these things, and we don't think a thing about them. We can see movies when the world comes to an end. Oh, we can see movies about terrible creatures going around doing terrible things. We can see movies about wars, about unhappiness, about people and their failures. We can see movies about people and their successes, too. And these are all illusions, all wonderful illusions. And are these ways I want to kiss myself? Do I want to kiss myself by saying, "I watched a movie on war and I love it. I watched a movie on angry people and I loved it"? Or do I say, "I am the pure white light of love. I surround myself with my pure white light of love. Everywhere I look, I see goodness. I see peace. I see truth. Every person I look at, I see whole and perfect. Every person I look at, I see revealing the divine within them. I am the divine. I kiss myself with my thoughts. I kiss myself with my thoughts and my ideas and my ways and my being. For that's all that matters. Not one person comes into my life who ever chooses to leave it by dying. They don't leave it. They're always in my life. They're always in my heart. They're always in my love, just as I am in their love. And though they may have taken a journey out of my sight, though they may have chosen to have an adventure, an experience that I would not choose for myself, I do not enter into that journey. I see them as always magnificent, doing everything they're doing in the fullness of their heart, in the joy of their being, in the wonder and the magic of who they are. And believe it or not, my world is filled with live, living people My world is filled with successful people. My world is filled with happy people. My world is filled with people that I just go around kissing the living daylights out of them. I tell them I love them. I hug them and kiss them, and I go my way. The only picture I have in my mind of any being, circumstance, attitude in the world is that of harmony, peace, love, and joy. And it is there eternally. It is there wonderfully. It is there forever. And it will never change. It will never go away. It doesn't have the capacity to go away. It has the capacity only to stay. Kissing myself shows divine respect. And what a divine respect I have when I kiss myself and say, I like me. I like me. I like me. And then I kiss you and I say, I like you. I like you. I like you. Forever and ever and ever and ever. That's all that matters. That's all that matters. That's all that matters. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. And so it is.